for this year, believe we're going to be going into I hate to use the word mini series, it might frighten someone on Sunday morning, but over the next couple of weeks, a sub theme that I believe that God is going to do something in your life and mine, corporately and individually, for such a time as this. So if you would, open your Bibles or your little computer handpieces that has a scripture program on it to John. To John. And we're going to be going into a season of believing the blessings that Jesus has for every one of you. Every one of you. As the Lord starts speaking to me, as I was looking into the sky and looking to the heavens, it brought perspective right away about His magnitude and His handiwork and the awesomeness of God and what He has for His people who simply believe Him. You know, we looked and say this gospel, John, in which I believe traditionally in Christendom, the gospel is being given and encouraged to be given to people that start their new walk in Christ, or even those that are not yet believing, when we say, why don't you just read through, here's a Bible, read through the gospel of John and see what happens. You know, John penned the word of God here for our sake, simply to believe Jesus. And today, if there's a sub-theme, it is believing Him. Just believing Him. Believing Him for His words. Believing Him for what He has done. Believing Him for the power of His name. And then we'll understand the keys to His kingdom and how reachable His blessings are to our life. The joy in your life and the faith to know that God hears and answers prayer, listen, is your greatest testimony to share others that Jesus indeed loves them, and He gave Him life for them, and He's no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. Well, what about the terrible sinner, Pastor? Well, guess what? Everyone was a terrible sinner. And sin is sin in God's eyes, whether it's a sin of unbelief or it's a violation of His laws. He has secured for us some incredible things for us to lay hold of pertaining to life and godliness for your life. And I'm not going to use terms like, mark my words, you'll need these for the days and years ahead. That doesn't sound very positive. But I'm going to tell you something. What an incredible time to believe. Amen. What Jesus has secured for us and where we are chronologically in society and this theme, only God could have done this. And guess what? God has done it, and He continues to amaze me. John clearly states his reason for writing his gospel account. I mean, he states it. And we see it towards the end of the gospel in John. It's not my text. But basically, the whole gospel is my text this morning. Don't be fearful. I'm not going to be here for 5 hours. But in John 20, 30, and 31 states the reason why he penned this gospel. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. That is His purpose for Him being obedient to the Holy Spirit and penning this portion of the canon of Scripture for you and I. So now let's go back 17 chapters to John chapter 3, verse 31 through 36. John chapter 3, verse 31 through 36. He who comes from above is above all. Boy, what a simple reminder on that property, not only before a couple hours they came, while they were there, standing guard, and after they left, locking up the place and just looking at the sky and saying, God, wow, what a sanctuary. It even put in perspective that massive building and saying, wow. The heavens is your sanctuary, God. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in earthly ways or in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony gets his seal to this, that God is true. Let's get it this morning, okay? Let's get it this morning, okay? Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Not just a little dab will do you. An overflowing measure. God is just waiting, even as the expanse of the sky, the stars in the sky, and even a background of that one worship song where you saw those waves. I was wondering if those waves were going to just come on us, you know? Wow. Without measure. Verse 35, 36. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Do you believe in the Son this morning? It doesn't matter who your uncle was. It doesn't matter which church you were born in. It doesn't matter if you were christened, sprinkled, splashed, dipped, holy water, oil, whatever over you. It doesn't matter that you were fortunate enough to be born in this denomination or that, or the oldest or the youngest, or which move of God the denomination was birthed. Do you believe in the Son? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not believe the Son, whoever does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. In the name of Jesus, help me, Lord, to try to put in words the measure of the revelation that you've given me. Father, it's just no surprise that this gospel, the gospel of John, that you had your servant John write, had the privilege of writing the apocalypse, the seven churches in Revelation, all of the book of Revelation. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now more than ever, I believe we should give believers or not yet believing people the privilege to read the Gospel of John. I believe we shouldn't do it until we spend some time in it. I'm going to give the church an assignment right now. I want you, no matter what your devotions are, if you would, just add to it. It won't take long. We'll take maybe about another 5 or 6 minutes over 30 days, over the next 30 days, to just not fall in love again, but fall in love again and get wisdom, which is the principal thing the Scripture says, and take an intimate journey through the Gospel of John over the next 30 days, because he who believes in the Son has eternal life. That's enough reason right there. Amen? The mandate that God gave John is phenomenal. It shows with physical evidence that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and then it shows that Jesus Christ has miracle power, listen, for all people and all nations. He also describes Jesus' encounter with a wide range of individuals. What I love about this, because Jesus was a people person, John penned all this. He takes careful form to pen all these incredible encounters that Jesus had with all kind of people of all kind of cultures, of all kind of income levels and cultural backgrounds and religious mindsets. 27 in all. You can count them. 27 different type of people that John writes about that Jesus would have encounter with. Here's just a few of them. And as soon as I mention them, you're going to say, wow, that's right. Nicodemus, chapter 3, high priest, by night, came to Jesus. I have some questions. And as he starts opening his questions with his theological excellence, Jesus said, You must be born again. How about the Samaritan woman? I'll tell you, out of all the women in two covenants, I've preached more about that little lady than I think anybody else. That's out of my wife. How about the invalid? John chapter 5. An invalid, a cripple's encounter with the living Jesus. How about the nobleman from John chapter 4? The stately man of great reputation and substance. How about the Pharisees? The experts of the law. Try to set up Jesus. Chapter 7. It's just a few of these. But in each case, contact with Jesus was life-changing and caused the person who had an encounter with him to make a decision. See, true experience causes us to make a decision, not to have a wow. Any experience that we have with Jesus or his words or the Holy Spirit should have us to do more than wow, but I have to make a decision. That, matter of fact, that's the only way you'll guarantee your Christianity to be an exciting adventure and not stagnant knowledge, religious knowledge that you've accumulated, and then before you know it, you either get self-edifying and everybody else falls short, or you become a critic, or maybe even worse yet, you lose out with God. A decision. John is penning something here that I believe beyond his ability, and showing that Jesus would have an encounter with all people. And all people that would just have an encounter with him would know that he is God in the flesh, that he's a miracle-working Jesus, and that they would have to make a decision. Either accept him and follow him or reject him. And you know what? It's the same today. Listen, either we accept him and follow him with all of our heart, or we're the same critics that end up saying, crucify him. Remember, it was the same people who said, Hosanna, you're the man. A week later, crucify him. Everybody has to make a decision when they have an encounter with Jesus or a revelation of him through his word. And it's basically a decision to believe more, or to believe in the right what. Or who? To believe and receive a significant change to the human condition, listen, revealing the life-giving power of faith, hope, and love. Something neat happened. We got a fresh revelation of our tower of faith, hope, and love, that holy tower on the property that goes six stories. And Officer Dye got his police flashlight. He says, just think of this, Pastor. And he pressed the button, and it shot up, and it went beyond the six stories of that tower, and the light kept on going for hundreds and hundreds of feet, and we just stared at it and said, wow, we thought the light inside of that thing up top, and we'll be seen from as far away as 472 was high. Maybe we need to get, you know, all these ideas we get, Pastor Carol, that you got to worry about how you're going to walk them out. Four canister lights. And not just illuminate the four walls of that massive keep, that prayer tower, that tower of faith, open charity, but go on beyond the top of that. How many remember the first year anniversary of September 11th in the city of New York? I remember we went up there shortly after. I had some friends that pastored all along that path in New Jersey, and they had people and elders and never came back. They died. Friends of mine that pastored people that died in that. In the city, live in New Jersey, and they work in Manhattan, and that's why, you know why New Yorkers are so depressed, don't you? Because the light at the end of the tunnel is New Jersey. Anyway, but anyway, what they had was pretty impressive. They had the Phantom Towers. Remember that? How many know what I'm talking about? They I don't know how many kazillion light power, candlelight power they had, but they set on the grounds of the foundations that were already cleared out on the bottom of those two towers, and they shot these lights. And if you were, you could have been out in the Atlantic 10 miles. You could have been far south at Seaside Heights, New Jersey. You could have been as far west as Sterling, New York, and you would see these towers again, except higher than 1,200 feet. They went about 3,000 or 4,000 feet into the air and said, maybe we're going to have to do this. See, in our fallen nature, in our cynical nature, we say, show me and I'll believe. But God says, no, believe and I'll show you. And then when you really see what I'm showing you, it's going to mess you up. It's going to allow faith that is an addition to your life to become a multiplying life that will stretch you farther than you could be stretched, that will take you farther than you ever thought you could go, and it'll show you things that you never even learned. And it's this gospel, as I shared last week, and this gospel of the kingdom, what is inside that gospel, wrapped in swaddling clothes, released to the four corners of the world, set the stars in the universe, it's that gospel of the kingdom that shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Because when you get a full revelation, when humanity lays hold of this one called Jesus, and the reality of this word, and that which is beyond the temporal, and we get beyond ourselves, something happens, a kingdom that's so magnificent that you don't want to miss it, and you want to be there. And we get our practice now. Trouble in my introduction. A life giving of, here I was, faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13 of the city, right? Faith, hope, and love in and from Jesus. And you'll see this bleed through all the chapters of John. For an abundant life here, this side of heaven, and one day in eternal life with Jesus forever in heaven. You know, John didn't use the noun believe, but always a form of the verb to believe. Big difference. Oh, such a big difference. People boast, I have my own beliefs. What's your belief? Always a form of to believe. Active. Our faith, that is our believing in Jesus and his words, is active, listen, and living and resurrecting power and full of the ability to dream and lay hold of and move and start seeing above the crust of moral degradation and the pollution of this world, both spiritually and even that which we see, even beyond the contamination of the land, and to look a little bit higher and hear Jesus say, come up here. And if we don't, we make life decisions for our life and our tomorrows and our future from what we see in the fallen realm instead of the glory realm. We don't live up there, but we must see up there so we could go through the miry like a, I don't know any of you have, how many of you have lived around the Great Lakes? There you go. And you see those massive icebreakers go through the St. Lawrence. They didn't open up that ice going from Huron and Erie and Michigan and Superior and all those lakes, that the economy would be like this. They break up the ice. They make a way in the ice. God makes a way in the coldness of this life and the lukewarmness of complacency. It allows us to believe so we could break through the sludge of this life. But you cannot afford to make decisions out of the emotion of a fallen nature, of a negative mind, in the sludge and the coldness and the frozenness of this life. And that's why God gave, I believe, John such a revelation to pen and make out of the verb to believe everything for this gospel. And that's why I believe this little gospel has been used in so many new believers class and given to so many believers, and so many of you and so many people like myself have said, just read this gospel. Show that Christ is active and living, and that's the life that he offers. It is not enough to accept a merely intellectual understanding of Jesus and his words. Truly believing it involves a total commitment to him, first in your heart and your soul and your strength, and an opening to the Holy Spirit who gives the power to live this new life with all conviction, listen, and all blessings, and we're going to get to that later on in this month. The blessings. So we're going to take a why we believe Jesus journey this morning. I need you to ask for a miracle of time. Okay, number one, believing, listen, you write this out, believing or in believing, we receive him. And receiving him, we believe. It's that simple. This is really how it all starts. It's not long before you, if you're going to take this challenge with me and this afternoon or tomorrow morning or before you go to bed tonight and you feather through past two-thirds of the duration or the thickness of your Bible, you leave Malachi and you get into the beginning of the New Testament, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you open up the first page, the first chapter, you're going to see, but all that received him who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Now you're not the child of Mike Modica Sr. My son's not just the child of Mike Modica II. You're not just the child of your earthly daddy. Or yours. If we catch this, we understand with all rights and privilege and responsibilities, we are, because of believing, the child of the Most High God. He takes no pleasure in seeing us walking around in the murk of this earth, in the fear of thinking that, I don't even trust you, Daddy. I don't care what you've done, your accomplishments, I'm going to do my own thing. Maybe I could do a better job than you. That's what Satan thought. Believing, we receive him. By believing, we receive him. And as a result, we become something greater than we are. From the children of fallen men, and we love our daddies, but then a little higher, children of the King of Kings. Abba, Father, is your daddy. Number two, moving right along here, believe for what he has done. You can believe for what he's done. Listen, 2,000 years with dark ages, with institutionalized religion that took the glory away from him and gave it to a mere man, to wars and rumors of wars, to you name it, even the ugliness of his followers, and wars and famines and lack of technology to hyper technology. Believe for what he's done. And that's the journey you'll find out as you start going through this gospel afresh with Holy Spirit glasses. Let's go. Let's look at Nathanael. I like Nathanael. He's a neat guy. John chapter 1, verse 49 and 50. I like within a few verses, Jesus starts picking people to follow him, giving them the opportunity. Not one scribe, not one Pharisee, not one religious leader, not one pastor did he pick, not one rabbi. He picked tax IRS guys. They're a little bit crooked. He picked people that were fishermen. He picked carpenters. He picked a lady who had a reputation that surpassed her. Her sons, her boys were known as the sons of thunder. He picked, I guess, thunder and lightning. And he also picked Nathanael. Come on, Nathanael. Nathanael answered, Rabbi, you the man, you're the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. You got to read this story. These stories are incredible. He basically reads Nathaniel's life, and nobody could have saw Nathaniel what he was doing, where he was at, except it was supernatural, had to be God. And Jesus does has a little phone with him. He goes, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, we don't know what Nathaniel was doing under the fig tree. But nevertheless, Jesus saw him in his fallen nature, not yet following Jesus or even really having a revelation of him. He goes, I'm picking you. And if you think you're amazed now, I saw you. He said, because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, you're going to believe? That's what Jesus said. Do you believe? And I prophetically speak this to you. You will see greater things than these. Folks, if you don't believe me, just believe the works of Jesus that I've been sharing with you for the last several years. Look at his track record. And it just hasn't been a theme the last 18 months, preparing for challenging times, really 3 years preparing you, using terms such as synthetic economy 10 years ago to prepare you to navigate and even prosper for and prepare for this time. Greater things yet are coming. Greater things. Because when the world gets darker, the light shines brighter. Where sin abound, oh, it's terrible. Look at the stats. Look what's happening. We're becoming a post-Christian nation. We hosted a couple from England this past week, and just one of the hallmarks of the day is spending a little time with them, talking to them, picking their brains, and brilliant couple, and just trying to find out where we fit in. Okay, 2009, this is where England is. The rate we're going, we'll be there 2017 or 18 unless we have revival. Excuse me. You believe because you've got a glimpse of my glory, Jesus basically saying, a glimpse of my revelation. You're here coming back, tolerating being challenged and stretched and investing and reaching and you believe? That's good. But God is about to do even greater things, church. Everything I share with you over the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to expound so much in each point without lifting up the mirror and wanting you to ask, what does that mean to me? And does it include me? What it means to you, you're going to have to find out. But the second part is, it does include you. I'll give you that answer even now. Where you could sit in some comfortable church with all the liturgical stuff, and that's, I love liturgical stuff, and you could just sit and the little thing that's printed for the little clergyman around the world the same day, and this is what you share, and you could go in, you feel good about yourself, you saw some nice glory and symbolics and symbols, and you sit home, or you could have an adventure of active believing, and one day store up treasures in heaven and see what they look like of every color, every kindred, every nation. Believe for what he has done. And Nathaniel's starting that adventure for as little that he's seen and the little that this one called Jesus has done for him, he's willing to leave it all and follow Jesus. John 2:11, this is the first of the signs that Jesus did at Canaan and Galilee and manifested his glory. Listen, and his disciples believed him. Well, you're still talking about, you put that verse here because you're still talking about Nathaniel. No. Jesus started going into the cross section of the community, picking people that religious people would not pick, probably you and I would not pick. And then after he does that, he goes with his mother to a wedding, the wedding of Canaan. And he reserves his first miraculous act at a wedding of turning the water into wine so that the bridegroom and the bride and the bride's family wouldn't be embarrassed and so everybody could have a wonderful time. And you know the story. He took the water and turned it into wine. He made really some great grape juice, the scripture tells us, I think. The disciples believed in him. The disciples believed not in the glory of Solomon's temple with Jesus standing and prophetically speaking over it. he picks this motley group of people, and then he goes to a wedding, and he's sitting back at a table. I don't know if it's a round table, and he's supping, and he's at this party, and these people are dancing and celebrating, and the wine's running out, and he turns the water into wine, and guess what happens? A shockwave happens, and all those people that are following him, that's when they believed. So may I submit to you, believe for what he's done. Let's see if we get number three in here. We have to believe. Listen, it can't be handed to you. You have to believe for a new birth and a new life. You have to. John 3, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You can rest assured that you'll see probably, again in the first NFL game, in one of the end zones, you'll see a little sign. You see it every year, somebody holding it up. John 3, 16. For God did not send, verse 17, his Son into the world to condemn the world. And religion, if it's not careful, likes to do that. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him should not be condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already. Listen, God doesn't even condemn them. They're condemned already. I tell people, excuse me, don't give my God a bad rap. He sends nobody to hell. He sends disease on no one. He sends no famine to Africa. None of it. It's part of a fallen nature. He respects us. He gives us a free will. He sets that globe spinning, and it does. And we have taken things in our own since John Genesis 3:5, and we've suffered a consequence. But God sent the prophets. He sent the judges, and he sent the law. And what the law could not do, he sent his Son. And to those of us who believe, we could live through it all, through the junk of the age. Have a hope, have a light in the darkness. So God doesn't even condemn. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36 goes on to say, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How many believe? How many believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God? Would you raise your hand this morning? Wow. Bible says you pass from death to life. So I give you a little hint. Don't walk in death. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that great proclamation, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Let's give you another one, number four. Believe for a new reputation. Now, could you imagine the men that I inventoried, Matthew and all these other ones, and Nicodemus and all the people, they did not have a reputation that was too good. They didn't have any religious or theological tenure. And God wants you to believe for a new reputation too. John 4:39-42, many Samaritans. I mean, many Samaritans now. Hold on. We're only in the fourth chapter to the gospel. But it was the first chapter that gave the realization that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. He said, okay, I'm going to go to all the heathens. Half-breeds, people that are culturally different, people that have given other people labels, people that are non-religious. Some of you don't know that my son-in-law Peter, how Battelle started was back in his 70s after his father was an economics professor at the University of Mexico. He finished his PhD at Cambridge. He had his MBA from Harvard, and his four best buddies, the five highest graduating people from MBA Harvard, were all billionaires, and he said, I'm going to stay in education, do my thing, and he was a professor, and he had this radical movement. And how many of us were touched in the 70s? Okay, the Jesus movement, the Messianic movement, a lot of Jesus people movement, incredible stuff happened, and he that's where he got saved too, Elliot, and so before he knew it, he had 10,000 students, campus church in Mexico City, and that's when Peter was only a couple years old, and took Peter and the baby, the newborn baby, and the two older sons, and he said, I'm going to go to the mother country. I'm going to go to Spain. Surely they'll hear there. So yeah, post-Franco, very intellectual a community, a nation who goes to Spain, and he went to the intellectual community, the educators, the marketplace, governmental people. They laughed at him. We don't want nothing to do with it. That's all wives' tales. That's an insult to us. We don't believe. That's all myths. We have no respect in the state church. He said, God, I moved my wife, my children. I came back to the mother nation, Spain. That's chained together through all the, you know, Columbus, all the different people that were financed by Spain and brought people and even the early remnants of Christian around the world and to the Philippines, to the east, and all the Hispanic nations, and they're laughing at me. They don't want to know about you. They don't believe in you. And instead of having a pity party, God let them go through a gypsy camp in Madrid where the heroin addicts were. See, Jesus does come to his own. He always does. And to those of us that know, he comes to us with every opportunity for ministry and experience with God. But we better be careful how we respond. Jesus came to his own received him not. Elliot Kepler came to the intellectual people, and they received him not. And that's how Battelle was birthed. He went to the drug addicts, to heroin addicts, and he got him out of heroin addiction, brought him to a little place, gave him three meals a day, and started pouring himself into him. And now there's 86 urban Battelle centers around the world. You can believe for a new reputation. God takes pleasure in using people where it seems like they didn't know long enough, they didn't have the right lineage, they're new into this thing, they might have a soiled past. See, we believe for what he's done, we believe for a new birth and a new life, but and God says, yes, and I want you free from your past. So he goes to the Samaritans. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, but why do they believe in him? Because he went to a woman whose morals were south, who blew out five marriages, who was living in sin with a man, and Jesus makes it a special point to say, hello, ma'am, how you doing? He said, would you mind giving me a drink of water? Let me tell you something. You know why the disciples weren't there? They were too holy for that. There ain't no way they're going to go to Samaria. And they wouldn't even give women in the temple the time of day. Jesus said, I must needs go to Samaria. There's a little lady there you would call whore. Had a lousy reputation. But you know, I got to meet her. He gave her a drink. And he said, lady, if you only knew who just gave you a drink, you'll never thirst again. God, through Jesus, who was God in the flesh, touched that little lady. And this is her response. She went back to the city. She went back to the man that she was living with. She said, we can't do this anymore. She went back probably to those five men, went back to the elders who would probably an inch away from stoning her, but they had their own problems. They were Samaritans anyway, so they really didn't care. And he says, listen, I met a man, and he told me all that I ever did. John 4:39. Many Samaritans believed from that town. They believed in Christ because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Why do you hide your testimony? I'll tell you why some people aren't here. I'll tell you why some people don't like my wife. Because she speaks the truth. A lot of pastors' wives are like wallflowers. They freak out. They don't want to be near her because she comes off the wall and she speaks all. So that none would perish. I like that. I like you, honey. the good, the bad, and ugly. And I'll be honest with you, I don't usually like it. I said, come on, it's 3 decades later. Enough already. Well, that was probably the reason why they let her be the teen challenge director here on North Stone. Those little girls, some of you remember, all dressed in black, used to cut themselves. They were raped by their uncles. They were hooked on drugs. And she started the first teen challenge center in 92, in that fall. And we were in the first little building here with a handful of people until it got off the ground and turned the leadership over. He told me all that I ever did. Don't make yourself so pretty and so religious and so I know so much. And you lose the anointing. You lose relevance. And all you do is sit in the judgment seat. Every move of God, every building effort, everything that's done out of a birth of a spirit, you want to stifle. Find an excuse why you don't need to be a part of it. Oh, we get so pretty after we get cleaned up, don't we? So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he did stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. 2 days and it changed the city because of that lady. God used a whore, a half-breed, a non-follower of Jehovah, a post-Christian, whatever, Jew lady, to blaze the trail that Jesus would follow in. My God, what's our excuse? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. So when the Samaritans came, they asked him to stay with them a while, and he stayed there 2 days, and many believed because of his word. They first heard his word and that little lady's testimony. Goes on to say, it says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And I want to tell you what Jesus did for that little lady, he could do for every lady, man, woman, child today. He's just looking for a man or a woman that won't settle for just being religious and pious, but will be hungry and thirsting for the presence of God and recognizes that somewhere in your own life, you're a miracle and God's hand of redemption was reached out to you. Oh, the next one is so incredibly good, but I don't have any time. Stand up with me. It is so good. I ought to give it to you just for a minute. I'll do it next Sunday. Father, we just bless you today, and we praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord. I'm looking at a couple or a few hundred incredible people who believed. In the name of Jesus. Allow your glory, allow a tongue of fire, tongues of fire, the flaming of the Holy Spirit to rest upon each man, woman, and young people. Father, allow the fire to blaze upon people that have been coming maybe for a while, maybe coming today, and let the fire explode in their heart unto salvation. I want believers praying right now. Pray right now. Some of you are here today, before you leave here today, you're like that Samaritan woman. There's not a religious bone in you. Your reputation isn't perfect. But you're having an encounter with Jesus today. He wants you to believe. And he wants to keep it simple. He doesn't want you to have to memorize the 16 tenets of faith of the Assemblies of God or the plumb line of 20 years of Christendom and the core values. Or he doesn't want you to have to get dunked, dipped, and go through these very religious, solemn ceremonies. That's why Jesus was killed by those priests. Because he wouldn't put all the tapestry. He just was the Word that became flesh. He was a friend of sinners. And he showed people the way because, listen, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's really what you want in life, don't you? You're tired of losing your way, aren't you? I know I was. And you're looking for truth. And you want life worth living. And he wants to give it to you today. And I was just so pleased. There's a team of people that love you already. And I want to stop by and greet you in room 102. This is so important. But listen carefully. I want to give you the privilege that I once had. I believe you start off weak, you leave a weak life. You start off strong, wow. You get stronger. You're here this morning, you can say, Pastor, I'm not where I should be spiritually. And I don't even know where I stand. But I do believe today. And I want to give my life. I want to give the balance of my life to Jesus. I want to live a life of believing. Not just have core values that I boast about. Or my beliefs. All my beliefs. No, I want to make a decision today for the balance of my life to believe. If everyone praying, if that's your desire today, would you just raise your hand quickly throughout this place?